Paul's talking this morning about peace with God, and he makes this incredible statement, because I know some here this morning are in one of three places. You're either on your way to suffering, and God has been gracious, and you've not gotten there yet. You're knee-deep in it, wondering if you can go on, or you're a little bit jealous because your time hasn't come. I want to encourage you to be patient. Maybe 24 hours or less, you will be in the midst of your suffering. So Paul is preaching to a church that he's never been to. He's never been to Rome. He's writing this letter to the Corinthian believers in Rome. He did not establish the church. And what he is sharing with them, inspired by God, is causing a great disturbance in the city. It will probably cause a great disturbance in this community of faith this morning, because it's a radical idea about what suffering can bring in and through the life of a believer. Please join me in prayer. Lord, thank you for gathering us together this morning for the joys of worship. I pray in this moment for tractor beam focus, for crystal clear clarity. As the word is read and proclaimed, that each of us would hear with joy what you would say to us this day. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and as I read, I invite you to listen for God's word to you. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. May God add His blessings to the hearing and the heeding of His holy word. Amen. Suffering. It's universal to humanity. What's common is the fact that every human being ever born that's alive today or will be born will experience some form of suffering. You get to pick your poison sometimes. Sometimes it just comes upon you. How suffering manifests in and through our individual lives is the only thing that differs. Are you with me? Suffering is common to all of humanity. How it manifests in and through our individual lives is where the variation comes in. Does that make sense? So here's what Paul is saying to this group of believers. In fact, because it's the same Holy Spirit, you know, working in our hearts and lives today that it was in Paul's day, the message is actually for us as well. Because I believe I said, some have just passed through, some are standing knee-deep, and some are just a little envious that their time's not come yet. Again, be patient. It may be less than 24 hours away, your suffering. So what do we do in the midst of suffering? Paul says it's an amazing thing that God can actually use suffering in your life in this kind of theological progression. Did you catch it? That suffering common to all of humanity can lead to perseverance. Perseverance can lead to character, and character can lead to an unmistakable hope. So let's look at those four things just a second. What about suffering? Have you ever noticed sometimes you make choices and you suffer the consequences? If you put your hand on the eye, it's going to burn you. Sometimes we just willfully want to do it. Other times we just kind of step in it. Whoop, what am I doing here? Other times we get out of the bed in the morning and we get trucked before we ever get to the coffee pot. Suffering just happens. So what do we do? This past Tuesday, we had presbytery meeting all day long over in Edisto. First time I've ever been to Edisto Island. If you've not been, shame on you. You should go. It's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. And when we got back from presbytery, we had session meeting. And prior to session meeting, Cameron and Dorothy Blackwelder and myself and a lady who we met for the very first time, Miss Mary Porter, came into my office, and we talked about session questions that we could answer as clergy colleagues and that we would ask to session to answer. And it was a beautiful experience. I mean, we'd never met, and we left just feeling one in Christ's love. It was amazing. And we were a little late for session. And we've already paid for that. So we got to talking. Well, Friday morning, less than 24 hours later, I'm sitting in my truck by the Bohemian Motel, getting ready to go into Creative Mornings, which is amazing. And I get an email from Dorothy. And she said, Mary's stepson and wife and child were the three people gunned down in Ravenel. Now, it hadn't been 24 hours. And so Dorothy was kind enough to send me her email, or text, cell phone number, and I called her and I said, Miss Mary, it's Sam. And she just started. She just started weeping and weeping and weeping. I didn't know what to say. I just was sorry. And I said, Miss Mary, would you mind if I prayed with you? And she said, no, Pastor Sam, please pray. So I began to pray, and I cracked the window of the truck, and the Spirit of God filled the cab up right quick, and it found the open window, and it just flowed down the side of the truck through the streets of downtown Charleston. And all Mary could say was, I'm waiting, Lord. I'm just waiting, Lord. I thought, what is she doing? How can a woman suffering like this do this? And then it dawned on me. She had her feet underneath her. She stood firmly in the Lord, and God Himself was pouring into her heart the Holy Spirit, and suffering for her was transforming her into the image of Christ. Do you know where you are in your suffering? I mean, because we've been justified freely by God, by grace through faith in Jesus, and our feet are squarely under us, you do realize, right, that your suffering God can use to transform you more fully into the image of the one whom we adore? You with me? But it's not suffering for the sake of suffering. That's step one. Paul gives us three more. Suffering leads to perseverance. We all know what perseverance is, right? Do we have any athletes? We got some over here. Do we have any wannabes? Do we have any used-to-bes? Yeah, legends in our own mind only? Yeah. So we know what it means, right, to persevere. It means you suck it up. It means you get up and give it some more. You give 105%, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. No one has more than 100% to give. You know what I'm saying? You pull yourself up by your bootstraps, man. Hey, bow your neck. Spit on it and forget about it. That's what we know is perseverance, right? That's exactly what Paul is not talking about. Paul is talking about a perseverance. Hupomone, it's a great word. It means that your feet are squarely under you, and you embrace your suffering head on, knowing that by yourself you cannot endure, but that God, through the Holy Spirit, through you, will enable you for the hope of glory to endure what it is you're experiencing. Do you see the difference? One is filled with hope. One is a crock of something, because you don't have more than 100% to give. But Paul is talking about a hupomone, a persevering that can develop our stick-to-itness. Johnny Evans was a supervisor of mine. He was with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They had two boys and two girls. And Beth, the mom, just got this idea that she would run a half marathon. Beth was not a runner. And so Johnny encouraged her as best that he could and everything. So he said, I did what the daddy does. I had the twins dressed, boys similar, girls similar. And every other mile and a half, we'd have everybody saying, go, mom, you can do it. She ran the half marathon. So at the end, Johnny walks over and he says, honey, so you've never run that far. Would you mind sharing with me and the family here how it is that you got through it, knowing sure well she was going to say, well, honey, you and the boys, I mean, I was inspired beyond measure. I just was, bam, there it, booyah. And she said, sure, I don't mind telling you. It was the sag wagon. What? It was a sag wagon. The sag wagon is what comes behind about an hour after the race starts. For people that give up and give in, they just quit running the race, they just get on the sag wagon. It was her embarrassment in front of the family by getting on the sag wagon that motivated her to finish the race. You with me? That's not what we're talking about here. Embarrassment and fear are poor motivators. But now Paul is unleashing this message in Rome that is blowing the city up, that may blow us up when we think our suffering can cause in us and through us in the Holy Spirit our perseverance to be shaped. Are you with me? So someone who has just come through, someone who is now waist deep, you were knee deep when you came in, or someone who is a little more envious that you're not there yet again, be patient, because that time is not far away. So Paul is saying God can and does use suffering, and the suffering can lead us to perseverance filled with hope, not sucking it up. And that perseverance can then lead to character. You've been around grandparents, and grandparents are just chill. They're just, why? Because they've been there and done that. And guess who's been there and done that to them? Children of grandparents. Yeah, they've been there and they've done that. And it's worked this kind of wisdom and chill in their spirit. You with me? It forms a character. I don't watch a lot of TV. When I do, it's actually three channels. One, ESPN on mute. I don't need the talking heads. I can sort of figure it out. Number two, the History Channel, which is not on mute. And then the Discovery Channel, which is not on mute either. And I was watching the other day, and Discovery was on, and it was talking about the industrialization of the United States of America. You know what almost never happened? You know why? Because we couldn't produce steel fast enough. The problem was we couldn't make steel fast enough. It takes so much heat to purify lead to burn off the carbon molecules to wind up with steel, we almost didn't have the industrialization. And someone figured it out. A lot of heat, quickly, cheaply, to burn the carbon out of the lead, and bam, we've got steel, i.e. the industrialization of the United States of America. Isn't that wild? No heat, no evaporation of carbon molecules from lead, no evaporation of carbon molecules from lead, no steel, no industrialization of the United States. It doesn't take much parallel vision to see where we're going, right? The trials and fire of suffering evaporate from our heart and mind and soul the impurity, not so much of the carbon molecules, but of the sin. And we are left with a character conforming to the image of Christ. You with me? I'm not, Sam. I need a little more. Well, you've got sterling silver in your house. Some of you do. Some of you don't. You remember when someone would come once a week and polish your sterling silver? I do, because I could smell it in the driveway before everyone in the house. She's cleaning silver today. But what makes sterling silver sterling? It's the heat. You have to heat it. When the impurities rise, you scrape it off, and silver is now sterling. So Paul, this is crazy, isn't it? So Paul is saying, check this out. So you're going to suffer. I think we've established that. The only thing different is the varied nature of the individual, but we're going to suffer. And Paul is saying, when you suffer, trust in God, because your feet are squarely under you. You've been justified by what Jesus has done for you. That suffering can lead to a perseverance, which can lead to hope, or which can lead to character, which the final step is hope. Hope. Hope doesn't fail us. So how is it that we stand in our suffering? Paul says, therefore, whenever there's a therefore, you remember, it's there for a reason. So you have to go back to about chapter 3. Paul has made his case clearly and convincingly. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I was being walked by the dogs this morning. And as I was walking, I said, Lord, who is not included actually in all? So all have sinned and fall. So here we are. But an amazing transaction takes place. God pronounces forgiveness for us because of what Jesus did. I was a little over 17, and I had a paper route in high school. I had the paper route longer than I had had my driver's license. And so I'm an early bird anyway, and I was waiting on the papers. The guy's like clockwork. This morning he's an hour late, hour and 15 minutes late, hour and a half late. And what the heck is going on? So when he finally comes back with the paper, he tells us that the reason he's late is the headline had to be changed. The Pope had died, and they had to rerun the entire Charlotte Observer. And so he gave us our papers. Well, I'm delivering papers, and four of the homes in the back of our then unfinished neighborhood had mailboxes, and they were on the side of the road that if I drove around the wrong way of the cul-de-sac, you with me? You got to look at the cul-de-sac. Coming around the cul-de-sac, I could sit in the car with the driver window rolled down and stick the paper right in, save 9 seconds. I'm already late for school. Well, I got to the third of the fourth mailbox, stuck the last paper in, and there was a policeman, Charlotte Mecklenburg policeman, sitting in the end of the cul-de-sac there. And I thought, well, this might not be so good. And I thought I'd gotten away with it, got all the way to the stop sign, and you know that feeling. In fact, just how many of you know, I'm teasing. Woo! And there I am looking in the rearview mirror, just freaking out. Well, there's a 30-day period if you don't do something about the ticket. You have to show up in court. March the 21st, my birthday. I got up March the 22nd. 30 days had passed. Now I have to go to court. I'm petrified. I sashay with 20 other people in there. I'm the very last one to go. He said, when you stand and plead, you'll plead one of three ways, guilty, not guilty, or guilty with an explanation. I was the last of 20. Sam Francis Martin III, you will approach the bench and stand right there. How do you plead, son? I said, guilty with an explanation. He said, don't you think that's kind of stupid? If you want me to. What do you mean, stupid? He goes, guilty with... So you're innocent or you're guilty. You just said you're guilty. And basically what you're telling the entire courtroom is you think you're good enough to give me some sort of excuse or reason as to why you're guilty, but you aren't really, and I'll let you go. This is dumb, don't you think? And I thought, yes, sir. What comes after terrified? That's where I was. And Barbara would be so proud, as would the choir, because my knees were knocking in perfect time. Amazing grace. And then something amazing happened. The judge looked at me and said, this is absolutely ridiculous. The officer didn't show up. He looked at me, he said, Sam? I said, yes, sir. He said, you're forgiven. Get out of my courtroom. I said, yes, sir. Sat down. Court dismissed. Done deal. Walk over to the water fountain. This isn't 5 minutes later. Walk over to the water fountain to get a sip of water, get my faculties back. Turn around, and who's coming out the door? The judge. He was a real long guy, and he was like real big. The adrenaline started flowing again. Hey, we're verse 2 now. Amazing. And you know what the judge did? It's the craziest thing. I'll never forget it. He walked over to me, and he put his arm around me, and he looked down at me, and he said, Sam? And I said, yes, sir. He said, you know you're forgiven, right? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, don't do that anymore. I said, okay, I won't. That was compassion that moved a human being in a civil court of law. Paul is now talking about a cosmic court, where God himself is sending behind a judgment seat, looking at you and I through the silliness of what? Guilty with an explanation. And God's saying, you know what? Forget it. God takes us by his side and looks at us and says, forgiven. Don't do this anymore. Something amazing happens in that transaction. You with me? Therefore, since we are justified by what God does for us through the person of Jesus Christ, four things happen when suffering comes. it can lead us to perseverance, which can lead us to character, which can lead us to hope. Whoever you are, peace with God because of what God has done for us in and through the person of Jesus Christ. In the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.